What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
Great song there. Every kind of people, everyday impact. We are calling this little segment, and a very good morning and welcome to the studio once again. Kelly from the Fox Glove Project. Good morning.
Hello, Mike. Great to be here with you once again.
Nice to have you back. And we've been, I'm loving this segment because we get to find out and hear some amazing stories of people in our own backyard right here in Perth that are doing amazing things, not only in Perth, but across the nation and across the world.
I know. They're doing stuff across the world. So and people have no idea. They're just sitting, you know, it's just everyday people. Your neighbour who is, you know, got themselves organised and raising funds and educating people about the things we can do to help in the developing world.
Making a huge difference. And we've got a very special guest in the studio this morning. Once again, would you like to introduce our special guest?
I'll introduce our guest. Our guest today is Gary Hewitt. He is the founder of Awareness Cambodia, but his biggest claim to fame is he's my brother.
Oh, and you are a lucky soul, Kelly.
I'm looking at you both and going, yeah, I can see it.
What a lucky soul.
Gary, welcome. It's good to catch up again. We did a broadcast.
We did, Mike.
In Cambodia. Yes. On the ground there some years ago now.
It was fun.
And so it's great to catch up with you again.
Weather's a bit different here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, I guess just to kick off, for those that are listening that maybe have not have heard of Awareness Cambodia, because there are so many organisations around the world, and particularly in Cambodia.
Yeah, there's a real link from Perth to Cambodia. There really is. There's a strong link between us.
Tell us, what is Awareness Cambodia?
Awareness Cambodia is a West Australian charity, so there's that link. And we've been tackling issues associated with poverty in Cambodia for the last 25 years. And we've done that basically through three streams. Mm-hmm. We have a child development program, we have a medical program, and we also have educational programs.
Okay.
So they're the three basic areas that it falls under.
And so when you what's the objective? Would you say what are you trying to achieve there in the big picture that you think about?
Look, I mean, the big picture is, I don't know whether we sort of to come forward or backwards. I mean, the big picture is what I saw back in 1995 and arrived there. Mm-hmm. And that really has resulted in what we've done today. So, I mean, when I rocked up there now, do you want me to talk about this side of things now?
Just
whatever.
Away.
Okay.
It's scary. It's just us three having a chat.
No, I know. I just don't know. You're going to tell me what to do here. I'm the visitor. You know, I'm the guest. So what happened back in '95? I mean, I rocked up there to. I mean, that first trip so affected me. Yeah. You know, I just saw the poverty and the chaos and the absolute devastation left behind after Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge had systematically exterminated 25% of the population, targeting women and children and the most educated in the country. Mm. So when I got there, I mean, that's what I saw. Mm. And initially you go, well, what do you do to change this place? And after time went by, we realised that what we had to do was replace the education vacuum that had been left behind by Pol Pot.
Yeah.
So really all of our programs, if you summarise it down to one thing, it's education.
Okay.
Education in Cambodia, whether it's medical, child development, or obviously directly in schools, etc.
And what do you see today? What are you seeing today? Because you're saying 25 years ago. Walked into Phnom Penh today, or you arrived at the airport today, what do you reckon the difference is in that dimension?
There is no comparison. Mm. I mean, what I saw was just imagine this. I rocked up. There's everyone who's educated is gone. Mm. So there's no doctors, no dentists, there's raw sewage floating down the streets, there's all their records destroyed, there's...
no roads and
all their families have been
roads.
Destroyed. Well, there's some bitumised roads, but as I say, the sewage would be floating up through the streets in the rainy season. You had a rising epidemic of cholera, AIDS, diphtheria, I mean, a list of things, and no medical people to train them. I mean, that's what we rocked up. It was like Afghanistan back in those days.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I mean,
and so you
see that.
You drive in.
Oh, today you walk in. I mean, look, if you go to some sections of Phnom Penh right now, I mean, it looks like you've gone into a huge version of Europe. Mm-hmm. I mean, over in Diamond Island, I just can't believe it. It's called Pik, is what they call it in Khmer.
Yeah.
But you go over there, and it's this massive structures created by the Chinese there. So you've got this dichotomy of what's happening over in that area and things, you know, back in the provinces where people are living on, you know, $50, $100 a month. It's a real, there's a real dual economy happening there in Cambodia.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
We'll take a break and we'll come back and talk some more. My guest in the studio this morning, regular guest, is Kelly from the Fox Club Project. And this morning we are talking to Gary Hewitt from Awareness Cambodia. Back after this. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike, and it's Everyday Impact. It's this little segment. Joining me in the studio is Kelly from the Fox Club Project and your brother, Gary Hewitt, who started Awareness Cambodia back in 1995.
Yeah.
You've seen it. You were really touched.
Yeah.
How do you even begin? Like, what do you say to your wife that we're going to pack up and move to Cambodia? I mean,
look, here's the crazy thing in that period.
Yeah.
In 1993, we'd lost Dad early to a heart attack.
Okay.
In 1994, we were in Bali having a holiday to try and get over all the bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Got hit by a truck.
And who did?
Kim and I, my wife and I.
You got hit by a truck?
Hit by a truck
hit
in
by
Bali.
Truck.
Yeah. So that left Kim with a hole in her right knee the size of my fist. So then in 1995, her knee, which is when I went to Cambodia, her knee hasn't recovered yet. It hasn't been fixed up. So I left Kim with a cast and two young kids to go to Cambodia. I mean,
with your mother,
with Neil. I mean, Mum was there, but Neil was obviously the doctor. I was the dentist, and we were doing emergency trips up the Mekong River. So it was so how that all happened, I really don't know. And then all I remember is being so impacted by what I saw and some of the cases I saw there. Like, I mean, I could
tell
you stories.
So you were doing the medical stuff up the Mekong
River,
and that's how you started to see really on the ground the needs, even because that would have been in the rural areas too.
Completely, it was unbelievable. Mm. So all of that happened. I mean, as I say, I could tell you so many events of that out of that experience that changed me. And I remember coming back to Kim in a cast and saying, "Honey, we can't not do something for these people. You know, I can't treat this like a TV show and just go click and turn the other channel.
So we're
going to do something about these people." So really, what do you do? I mean, when you look at that, and I mean, we sent up two teachers from Western Australia initially to live up there, and by 1997 the current Prime Minister had led a coup, and there was tanks and machine guns rolling in the center of Phnom Penh. I mean, talk about...
Hang on, 1997?
Yeah.
So we flew them out. We had to fly everyone out in 1997. And then...
And they all got evacuated out the back of a Hercules, wasn't it?
A Hercules,
yeah.
By Australian Air Force. So so that was in 1997. And so you go back... I mean, as I say, it was a really, really unusual time. And what exactly to do was the question. And I remember the first time we thought we could actually get into a program specifically, because up to that stage the girls were learning Khmer, learning to talk, you know, read, etc., was when one of our workers up there was approached by a woman selling a baby for $20 US. And we all go like, how could you possibly do that? But you have to realize that AIDS had gone from nothing in 1993 to 3% population in 2002, and so it turned out we did the investigation.
So parents were dying and leaving their children. So it wasn't as unheard of as perhaps what we all imagine now.
No, we found out afterwards that when we did the investigation was that this woman wanted $20 to pay for the meds while she died. The father had died already, and the family was cut them off because they were scared of AIDS. So I said to them, "What do we have for kids that are orphaned by AIDS?" And they said, nothing. So that's the first program with Sunshine House. We're talking kids orphaned by AIDS specifically. And it's come right from that stage now. We've gone right through with it. Great. Those same children that arrived in 2000 are now graduating degrees in, you know, IT, civil engineering, medicine. You go the whole list of it's incredible to watch these young kids who came in with nothing, watching their complete lives change, now married, having their own kids, running their own businesses.
And getting involved in some ways in giving back to
they are coming and helping us with our construction work, engineers, architects coming back and helping us with our construction work.
Incredible.
It's incredible to watch that the change there.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk some more. My guest in the studio this morning, if you just tuned in, is Kelly from the Fox Club Project and also Gary Hewitt from Awareness Cambodia. Back after this one. Canberra on 98.5 weekdays with Mike. Joining me in the studio this morning is Kelly from the Fox Club Project and Gary Hewitt, founder of Awareness Cambodia. Happened all back in 1995. It was your first trip.
Yeah.
And then it continued on. It's fascinating to understand how you even make that happen, Gary.
Yeah.
You've seen the desire, you've seen the need.
Yeah.
It really touched your heart.
Yeah.
Quite obviously. How do you juggle between running a business? Now, you're a qualified dentist.
Yeah.
How do you give up part of that and travel over there and spend money? How's it all funded? How does it all happen?
Look, I think, in my experience, is you can't come in with preconceived ideas of what's going to happen. I mean, I was saying earlier, and I was joking, that, you know, if I'd known all that was going to happen down the track, you know, I'd be questioning whether I wanted to get involved at all, put my feet in the water, because you think, well, gosh.
Wow. Takes over your life.
You know, selling the practice, all the things you'd do in the process. Mm. But I guess it's the key for me would be not coming with preconceived ideas about what you want to do or how you're going to achieve it.
Trying
to work out all those balance, all those issues,
yes,
would be a bit overwhelming in the first place. So you just got to start somewhere and look for areas in country. Rather than coming in as a Westerner and saying, this is what we should do in country, look for needs in the community and say, how do we work with you in meeting those needs? Mm. So, give you an example, the medical side of things. Mm. The reason why we started the medical centres was because our kids got HIV and they got access to ARV drugs in the early 2000s. Well, the drugs were costing us three times the amount it would cost just to take care of one child. Mm. So I thought we might be able to access cheap medication, cheap ARV drugs.
Yeah.
So I went to local medical
in,
area.
In Phnom Penh, you're saying?
No, in Kompong Speu.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And it turned out, I said to him, look, can you help us with the meds? He says, well, look, we can't help you. He says, our problem is he explained the population is about 800,000 people. And he said, we've got three doctors in 21 health centres to service them.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like Perth being serviced by six doctors.
Wow.
So I said, well, look, maybe you can't help us, but we can help you.
Yes.
So that's where we started our medical centres. And, I mean, just before COVID, in the year before COVID, we worked with the government. We wanted to train their staff. We brought in internationally trained doctors, that is Cambodian doctors, and we started training their staff. Well, we, in the seven medical centres just the year before COVID, we saw 45,000 patients.
Yeah.
10% of them we educate their staff in good practice, and we provided all their medical consultations, all their pharmaceuticals. That was a response to a local need. What is the problem there? I would never have guessed we'd be doing medical services when I first started, you know, in that environment,
Cambodia.
And I think
that's it. That's when we come in thinking that we already understand the situation, but it's kind of evolving and it's changing, would you say?
Yeah.
Because I remember going there in the late 90s and HIV was such a major issue. Within, you know, in about a 3 or 4 year period, that whole area, that just completely changed, didn't it? So you have to be responsive.
You do. And even now, I mean, we've provided primary health delivery in those years prior to COVID. Mm. But now our focus in the last year is starting to move towards tertiary education. How do we bring out more highly qualified doctors, for example,
and training,
to provide a better equip their community? So it's, you're always looking, what can we do that's going to be most effective in country, not here's what we do and we're going to impose it upon that country. Mm. So, I mean, that goes right through all our programs.
Yes,
you know,
I think it
and
does.
That's why we, you know, if you go right the way through, we've now started a scholarship program for kids in rural provinces now. So this is for doctors and agricultural students. So kids that are now can go through and get educated. Mm. In the early days, they couldn't get educated. Mm. Now they're getting educated.
They can get educated locally. Up to a certain level.
End of high school, it's ends. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So now we provide a scholarship for highly gifted kids who could never hope to go to university in medicine and in
agriculture.
In agriculture. Mm. And our oldest boy, for example, who came for that program just last year, was the third highest qualified graduate in Cambodia. And he's just been accepted. He's just going to oncology. He's just been accepted in oncology. So he's second year of oncology.
Wow.
So his last results last year was 100% across every subject.
That's incredible.
That was a kid that came from nothing, lost all his parents.
Amazing. We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. You are on 98.5 weekdays with Mike. If you just tuned in, you've been listening to Kelly from the Fox Club Project and also Gary Hewitt, through the founder of Awareness Cambodia. Back after James Morrison. There we go. We're finished now. That was James Morrison. I won't let you go. You are on 98.5 weekdays with Mike. I have Kelly from the Fox Glove Project and the founder of Awareness Cambodia, Gary Hewitt, in the studio. You've got an amazing story, Gary. It's it really is an amazing story since your first trip back in 1995. As you think back and reflect now, you've just shared a little bit about the difference that you have made. And I know others have come along that journey.
Sure.
But you've seen it first.
Yeah.
You started it and then it expanded from there. What are your thoughts as you reflect back thinking about all those kids that have come through and have had opportunities and hope that would have never come about had have you not started?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts as you reflect back on all of those thousands of faces?
Well,
how does it make you feel?
Well, it makes you feel great. I mean, in that sense, obviously, to see the changes. And I still remember our first, around the same time as my children here were graduating from university, our first group of kids that arrived at Sunshine House in 2000 graduating in their degrees over there. And I was like, isn't this amazing? You know, here's my own kids. They've got a good education. And they've got a right to get that education. And we've given the same opportunity to kids in Cambodia. And they're taking advantage of that and becoming their own, you know, their own leaders, getting over their own past and becoming, you know, obviously contributors to people around them and to the society, the Cambodian society. So I guess, you know, I think one of the things that if I'm reflecting back, the danger we have is coming in with preconceived ideas and programs that we want to impose into a community. And I think the problem with that is getting things just around the wrong way. I think we need to ask ourselves what really matters in life. And what really matters is people.
People,
what matters. And, I mean, that just happens to be what matters to God as well. And I remember Albert Einstein made the comment. He said, seek not to be man of success, but rather to be a person of value. And so which said to me, I'm not, it's nothing wrong with being a dentist. That's an awesome thing to, you know, to have my professional degree and be successful in that. But it's in taking that, my success, and helping someone else that I become a person of value in the community. And I think all of us, if we think about it, we all want to, at the end of our lives, we want to think to ourselves, you know, I've made a difference in someone else's life. I've made their load in life just a little bit lighter. And, you know, I don't want to leave the world the way I found it. And, you know, so I think that's probably to me is the key thing. And once you have that mentality, then you can start to say, okay, well, how do I use what I have at my disposal to change someone else's life?
Because I think we so often do start with what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And the danger of that is that we forget that it's actually what are we actually hoping for the people who we're trying to help? Because that's what really matters, isn't it?
And you said earlier when you said it more, things morph as you do because people change. Their circumstances change. I mean, we talked earlier, Mike, about the difference between 1995 and now. Things change, and if people's circumstances change, we need to adapt to that, you know, if we're going to be effective in long-term changes in their lives. So, yeah, so I guess in my mind, that's probably the thing I really reflect back over. And you know, I'm proud as a punch of my kids and how they've gone. You know, I've got a lawyer, and you know, son's a lawyer, the daughter's a journalist, and she's done a master's degree. And also, here's my kids at home, done fantastically well. And there's the kids in Cambodia coming out with all their degrees. And, you know, it's fantastic to watch.
You do. You must feel fantastic because it does take a lot over those years, but they are worth it.
Well, we're nearly out. Have you got any other final questions, Kelly, before we wrap up, to your amazing brother sitting next to you?
Thanks, Mike. Kelly would never have said that, but you just said that perfectly, Mike. You go to the top of the class. I'm giving you a gold star after that.
I appreciate that, Kelly.
Can you give me a gold star too?
No, Kelly.
I've always liked a gold star myself.
Get a silver, maybe.
No, I just think it is that, you know, that final question is that idea that even though we all, there's a cost you've got to weigh up to do these things. The cost is, don't you reckon it's worth it when you look back?
Yeah. You know, I think on the journey, if you're following ours, there's so many reasons to turn back.
Yeah.
Unless you have to be convinced inside about what you're called to do. I mean, there was no reason why I couldn't come back here, be a dentist, give another organisation X number of dollars per year and let them do the job of the deck. No reason. That'd be a totally reasonable
and
approach.
And it's not bad. People, that's their thing.
That's a totally reasonable
approach.
That's
a good thing,
But you have to then assess what your role
what
is.
Yours
and
is,
I believe
mine
had to be on the deck. And then once you do that, then commit to the journey. And as I say, there are plenty of reasons to turn back. I mean, you know, circumstances with Kim, for example, with her health. She's you know, with her breast cancer side of things. And we've had that now the last 6 years.
This is your wife?
My dear wife, Kiss. Yeah. So, and that's another challenge. I mean, you know, and you could very easily say, listen, I can't keep my mind on, you know, all her health issues and all the, you know, all the things that, you know, keep on going. But but the reality is, it came back to the same issue. The real things that matter in life are people.
Yeah. People, and that's what you're made for.
That's what we're made
I'm gonna
for.
I'm going to live what I'm made for.
You know?
Yeah. Fantastic.
At the end of the day, stuff, you know, it's, I mean, I've got a decent house, but if I was living in that house without my girl, who cares? I don't live alone in the house. So when we do the journey with people, that's what really makes a difference in life. And so that's the difference. Your people's lives being changed, them feeding back into your life. I mean, that's what makes the world go round.
Yeah, so good. Look, we could keep talking for hours, but it's nearly lunchtime. And
good. Thanks, Mike.
We're out of time.
Why did you look at my stomach when you said that, Mike? Yeah, I should have known. See, Mike looked at my stomach. I mean, come on.
Gary, look, we really do appreciate you coming in. Founder of Awareness Cambodia. It's lovely hearing your story, and I'm sure a lot of people listening could resonate with it.
Yeah.
And hopefully we believe we're inspiring others to go on. If you've had a dream, had a thought.
Yeah.
Never too late.
That's true, girls.
Yeah.
So good. Thanks so much, Gary.
Thanks,
and,
Mike.
And thanks, Kelly, as well.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You've been listening to Everyday Impact here on 98.5.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.